Thanks to Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting The Instance. Raycon Earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/wow. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to The Instance, episode, I don't know, what is it, 611, 611. That's not a band. I was thinking of 311. So for a hot second, I was about to say I was going to make some amber is the color of my energy joke, but I didn't do it because 611 has nothing to do with 311. Anyway, it's Tuesday,
all
August.
All of the Cure covers, they have one of them.
They do. It's August 18th, 2020. I'm Scott Johnson with Garrett Weinzierl. Garrett, hello. How are you?
Hi, Scott. I'm doing well.
Fantastic.
Haven't gotten to see anything cool on the PTR because the zombies are never happening when I log into it.
Yeah, me either. I haven't been able to see those things either. We're going to talk a bit about those and how they work today and hopefully answer some questions that might be lingering out there about how the pre-patch event is supposed to work. But for many of us, beta users anyway, you've had some experience with it already. And some people tell me it feels a lot like the Wrath event.
It's because it's supposed to.
It's kind of supposed to feel like the Wrath event.
Hashtag working as intended.
Yeah, I'm making it seem sinister, but really that's kind of what they're aiming for. So, well done, Blizzard. More on that in a bit. But first, side quests. Whoops, side quests. All right, let's get into it. Hey, are you sick of other video games out there getting RTX ray tracing support? I know I am.
My card doesn't support it, so oh. No, I am not.
Oh, okay. Well, one day you too will feel the power of ray tracing in your video games, and you might feel it sooner in a game called World of Warcraft. You may have heard of it. Got some good news. NVIDIA released a GeForce driver that, in their words, quote, provides optimal support for World of Warcraft Shadowlands pre-patch on the public test realm. It introduces ray tracing visual effects to the game. This makes a lot of sense to players with the RTX cards that they're already using because the tech seems tailor-made and kind of shines in situations like World of Warcraft, older games, older engines. Not that WoW doesn't look good or they don't improve it. Obviously, they do. But you don't need a monster rig to enable this. Think back when people were playing the RTX demo thing or whatever. I think maybe it was $10. Maybe it was free. It may have come with your card. But that version of Quake 2 that happened right around the time the RTX-enabled GeForce cards came out. And that looked amazing, even though it was like a 20-year-old game. One would expect that WoW will definitely benefit from this. It seems like the perfect fit to me. The ray trace shadows option are currently disabled in the PTR, however, and the beta builds of the client. So you're not going to see it yet, but they might get enabled after this week's build or this week's update. And we'll know soon. By the way, they named some other stuff in there. Microsoft's Flight Simulator, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2, Total War Saga Troy, and then I mentioned the World of Warcraft Shadowlands beta. So not the only game to get it, but the one I'm most excited about. Garrett, for a minute, just imagine the vast, endless vistas of World of Warcraft now bathed in mathematically correct physics light. What do you think of that?
I hope it blends. I hope it's not too realistic in a highly stylized game.
Yeah, I mean, what I kind of hope, or not what I hope, what I expect to see is kind of that diorama effect that it seems to have in other games where there's a painterly modely quality to WoW anyway. And
yes,
the lighting systems in it are fine for what they are, and they've improved over time as well. I remember when everyone's shadow was just a little gray dot under their feet. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, and that blended really well when the real-time shadows were added. It was like, oh, this just fits,
yeah,
and it works.
Just looks right.
It doesn't look out of place.
If I'm Blizzard, I'm aiming for that same level of fidelity, and they're not going to want to have this look bad. So my guess is it'll kind of have a tilt shift kind of quality to it, sort of like you're looking at a model of things, which I really dig that kind of stylized look, especially with the current graphic treatment that WoW has. So personally, I'm ready. I got this card in there. I got a 2080. It's just sitting there waiting for a reason to trace some rays. Why not WoW? Why not WoW? I say. Anyway, that's coming soon. Watch for it, possibly in this week's build.
Looking forward to it. Once I have a card that can do a damn thing about it. Blizzard put up a shiny new post called Shadowlands Preview: Adventures.
Ooh.
Not colon adventures, but punctuation colon adventures. It's an in-depth look at how you will send your allies into the Shadowlands to take on new and unique Covenant challenges. We know a lot of this already, but there are some more details in here, and here are some if you need a refresher. You get to choose your Covenant and start utilizing the dedicated table from inside your Sanctum, and this is where things start to get interesting. You'll see available adventures via the interface and the associated rewards for completion. You'll also see the cost of the mission, the current state of your units, and how hard the matchup might be. You'll create a strategic mix from your adventurers, soulbinds, and troops to create a 5-unit party for each fight. And if this is all sounding a little bit like WoW's take on an auto battler, that's because it basically is. So make sure you go and check out the WoW blog for all of the details in the new preview.
Yeah, looking at some of the preview images here, I mean, it's basically put your dudes where you want to put them strategically. Here's your enemies up top. Hit go, and they fight it out, little icon style. I haven't actually seen this in movement, like action, so I don't actually know what the actual movement of this looks like, but it looks like a little, you know, auto battler, a little strategy game there.
They kind of bump each other. You're watching icons bump each other. I don't think it's anything to write home about. Yeah. Like, this is the kind of thing that I look at and go, boy, I can't wait for a add-on to skip all of this.
Oh, man, but you don't want to sit there and watch these guys bump each other? Come on now.
Not really. No. Yeah, I mean, I haven't taken a dive too deep. Supposedly positioning does matter, which is interesting because, well, I guess it does in Battlegrounds as well, but not in the same way that it does in other like auto battlers that came pre Hearthstone Battlegrounds, you know, things like auto chess, things like Teamfight Tactics. You have like forward and rear lines, which introduce a lot more nuance to positioning than something like Battlegrounds. But
sure. Well, let me ask you, actually, this is a great question. I'm glad we went here because I want to ask this. I've never asked you this. As someone who is pretty adept at playing Battlegrounds and Hearthstone, you know what you're doing over there. I've always wondered, does positioning matter at all? Like, I feel like that's where I F up in that game, but maybe it doesn't matter. Oh, it does matter. Okay.
Big time. Because your units always attack from left to right. And so usually you want to stack like biggest attack farthest to the left to just get your big attacks out of the way.
Right.
But there's certain units that can manipulate that, where you might want your units that are more prone to dying to actually attack first so that they make room because you're spawning tokens, or you have some sort of like a cannon unit, which is actually going away, that attacks when the unit next to it attacks. So you actually want units to die next to it, so they keep lining up next to the cannon and marching into their doom, so you get extra attacks off.
Right. I mean, some of these things are death rattles. Some of these things are other effects that if you don't put them in the right order, you're not going to get your maximum benefit out of it. Okay. Well, that's exactly what I thought. I just didn't know, because it does feel like when I play other auto battlers, like I forget the name of it. Underground. Dota Underground. That thing.
Underlords. Or whatever it
is. Underlords. Been a while.
We'll get there.
I feel like I'm just tossing dudes in there. Just like, here you go. Have a place. Enjoy yourselves. Like, it doesn't seem like there's much strategy there for that.
Yeah. One of these days, dude, we're going to sit down. I'm going to coach you. It's going to be great.
Oh, Lord.
And we're going to learn something.
All right. Can we stream it so I'll be embarrassed in public?
Okay. Absolutely. Right. I'll be nice. I promise.
Right. I appreciate it. Anyway, more on that on the official WoW side if you want to go look at more. If you enjoyed the pre-patch events of World of Warcraft right before new expansions, oh boy, howdy, we've got some great news for you. The Shadowlands pre-patch event is a full Scourge invasion of the capital cities of Azeroth, Stormwind, Orgrimmar. In the event, zombies are unleashed in the cities to try and turn you into a mindless ghoul. All right, so you got to be on the lookout for that. If you get infected, you now have 60 seconds to talk to an Argent healer, or you end up an infectious zombie like the rest of those bastards. All right, here's a quick breakdown of how the various infection abilities work for these zombies and what to keep an eye out for. And by the way, we said this pre-show a little bit, but if this is all sounding a lot like, or starts to sound a lot like the Wrath of the Lich King pre-event, the Culling of Strathholm stuff, all that business, lead-up business, then you're not wrong. That is by intent and feels very similar to me. All right, so here's the first ability, Mangle. It's a melee attack, applies a stackable 5% damage taken debuff. All right, so that stacks. That's bad. Wretch, ranged attack that spews bile on the ground, which then deals damage and slows the movement speed of your character. Also sucks. Beckoning.
Also, what I yell at roaches when I kill them.
Yeah, wretch! Right? Yeah, I can hear you doing that. By the way, did I ever tell you about the friend I had in the South who fell asleep one night, and the next day for like the next 20 days felt dizzy and got worse and worse and worse and couldn't figure out why. He finally went in and got looked at, and a little roach had crawled into his ear and made a little nest in his ear. It's bad, man.
Whoa.
Yeah. Made a little nest and was like doing stuff in there. I don't know what, but they had to pull this roach out and do some surgery to like clear out the nesty part. And it was real bad. And then I had a whole other friend who had the same thing happen, but the roach went in his bum, went right up his bum chute and made a little thing in his intestines there.
Okay. All right. I'm calling shenanigans on this one.
That's a real one. I promise.
Shenanigans on this one.
He tells me it's real. I don't know. Maybe he lied to me, but he's just, all he did was make it so I never want to see a roach again in my entire life.
I have questions, but I'm not sure I want answers.
All right, moving on. Beckoning groan, speaking of disgusting things. Oh, I didn't get back to Rhett. Sorry. Ranged attack, spews bile on the ground, deals damage, and slows movement. Oh, I did say that. All right, beckoning groan. It's beckons up to 4 zombies to help you. So this is a thing you can do once you're a zombie, I guess. So you're basically, you can give it some AI pals. Lurch! Increase the movement speed of nearby zombies for 100% for 10 seconds. Lurch! And then finally, zombie explosion. This is an explosion that deals high damage and infects nearby enemies, nearby players, killing you in the process. So, that's just something to look forward to.
Please get an add-on up and running that when I cast Lurch, it plays the speed boost music from Lucio.
Oh, that's not bad.
That'd be great.
You got to have him say something, too. You got to have him do his, amp. What does he say? What does Lucio say?
Well, usually he says, let's drop the beat, but that's for his ultimate.
Yeah, that's his ultimate. When he does the amp up, he goes, oh, man, this shows how long it's been since I've played Overwatch, because I like
this. Well, it's also in Heroes of the Storm, but I'm pretty sure it's just like the sound of a track fading into another track, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I like that music. Anyway, zombies are coming. They're there, actually. If you can catch it and get into the beta at the time it's happening, which Garrett and I have had some very terrible luck doing lately, you'll be able to experience this now, or you'll wait until the pre-patch and do it like everyone else will. When the game launches.
Best of luck, everybody. The cosmic map for Azeroth is about to get more populated for the first time since Warlords of Draenor, which I had to think about for a second, because, yeah, it's been that long. Yep. Joining Draenor, Outland, and Azeroth itself, you know, when you right-click multiple times on the map, which usually I do by accident and go, oh my, what am I looking, where was I supposed to be? Oh, I right-click too many times. But it's going to be Shadowlands with its own special designation. This, of course, makes sense because this is the first new, basically, other world to join WoW since 2014's Warlords. All other expansions took place on pre-existing planes. BFA, you know, the most recent one, for example, we just got 2 new islands that, frankly, we knew existed from a lore aspect, but yeah, we just decided not to go there.
Well, there were some mists, you know? There were mists of Pandaria.
Not this time, no. We knew. We more or less knew where they were.
Well,
we mentioned
true.
Them multiple times, but whatever. Whether or not we ever get an answer regarding Scott's Azeroth Moon theory, well, we'll just have to wait and
see. See, I have this theory that you got your Azeroth right there in the middle there, right? You got your Draenor over here to the right. Although none of these positionally mean anything. They're just different worlds, basically. Outland over here, of course, which we've had for a very long time. And then now Shadowlands taking up this space up in the upper left. And I've had this long theory that most planetary bodies have some sort of lesser celestial bodies rotating around them. So in theory... And I think you see it when you're out running around at nighttime in some of the skyboxes. There's a damn moon in Azeroth.
It's quite important to night elves. Yes, there is definitely
a moon. Right. Exactly. The moon. The night elves love the moon. You guys are always going on about the moon and doing attacks that have moon power. Obviously, there's a moon. So I think my theory is one day we end up on the moon. Azeroth moon.
According to WoW Wiki, Azeroth has 2 moons.
Oh, really?
I am just now learning this for the first time.
I didn't know that either. I mean, that sounds like that's some Star Wars New Hope shit where you got two moons in the sky. I guess those are suns, but
they are definitely suns.
So hold on. 2 moons, Azeroth. Okay. So let's see. The moon, WoWpedia. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. There's the White Lady and the Blue Child, they're called. Mm-hmm. Boy, this is great. The Draenor and Outland also have the Pale Lady, Smaller Moon, and other celestial bodies. There are also other moons, but we've never been there is my point. So now we got 2 moons to go to, and I'm annoyed that in 15 years I've never heard that there were 2 moons, nor did I know they had names. How embarrassing.
By the light of a loon.
Oh, yeah, right there. See, that's in the name.
It's what the Night Elves refer to as the, I believe, the goddess of the moon. Don't quote me on that.
Because she never says, by the light of the white lady, right? Because that's what you get when you go to Costco. Anyway, moving on. All right. Hey, I got some quick Overwatch news for everybody. The top
always directs me to the Miracle Whip, that white lady. She's so helpful.
Every time. Some quick Overwatch news. The top seeds are set for the $4 million Overwatch League playoffs. There's only 1 week left in the Overwatch League regular season. If you're keeping up on things, and probably already know that, but all the top four seeds in North America are locked in as of now. Should note that the Shanghai Dragons obtained first place finish for the entire league. So looking like the promising maybe beat everybody's right now. Everyone's money's on Shanghai. But anyway, Philadelphia Fusion are a lock for first in the NA lineup. San Francisco Shock in second. Paris Eternal sits at third. And the Florida Mayhem bringing up the rear with fourth. How do you feel about your Mayhem being in the top four?
I would say it's on brand for Florida football, but we did just get Tom Brady, which I'm not excited about, so who the hell knows?
Yeah, he's going to be. Well, whatever. He'll throw a lot of balls. You'll be fine.
Growing up, all our teams were bad, but like now, like the Lightning have been good for a while. The Rays have been good, like decent for a while until the damn coach left for the Cubs to get them a pennant.
But, you guys were good in the 80s. The Dolphins were good. You had Dan Marino and all that. They were cool.
Never won a Super Bowl, though.
No, but they got there a lot. And Dan Marino is like MVP a couple of years or maybe 1 year. I don't remember.
Sorry, Dan.
This is a long time ago. I'm sure he's doing just fine. Anyway, according to a breakdown in Forbes yesterday, Forbes.com put this up, said locking in one of the top four spots means those teams have earned themselves bites in the North American bracket and made things a little easier on themselves as they pursue a spot for the final four in the grand finals weekend. Fusion, Shock, and Eternal will get a choice of opponents in the playoffs, the Mayhem taking on the remaining side in the double elimination tournament. So, for WoW players, you may be going, I didn't even know this was still going, but it is. And look, esports is sports, man. Follow it up, check it out, and enjoy.
Or humans named Garrett, this is all news.
That's all true. All right. Now this. Oops, not that. Where is it? I lost it. I had a thing to play for this. Hold on a second. I can't find it, so I'll just say this.
Hello, China.
All right, we'll use that. It's our main quest today. I couldn't find the... I have a file for this. I have a brand new one and everything, and it didn't get in there. All right. If you're happy about the direction of legendaries in Shadowlands, then you might like to hear how often you can craft them. Okay? So it turns out the answer is multiple times, multiple item levels, rather. So here's a quick recap of what you need to do to craft your legendaries. To start with, you're going to need the following stuff. Make a list, get your pens out, get your paper out, we'll wait. Here you go. A special base item obtained by blacksmithing, leatherworking, tailoring, or jewel crafting. And by the way, this whole thing seems like a way to rejuvenate basic crafting professions in the game. An amount of soul ash obtained from weekly completions of Torghast, Tower of the Damned. Then you also need the memory of the rune carver, legendary recipe obtained from various sources in the expansion. I suppose those details will become clear later. Two different stat scrolls from the inscription profession. So inscription people, get your shit going. You're back. You're back in our good graces. Missive of haste, missive of critical strike, missive of mastery, missive of versatility. You're going to need one of those, depending on what you're trying to do and what your class is. Okay. You'll take all of these items once you've got them. You're going to bundle them up in a little bag, and then you're going to run over to... the dude, what's he called? Hold on, what's his name? The Torghast Rune Carver. All right? You'll combine all these items together. He'll make your legendary. It could be a she. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not here to tell you what gender the Rune Carver is, okay? You're going to have to find that out on your own. This should be a real shot in the arm, though, for standard crafting professions in the game. You have to have that base item every time you do this. So if you've got a friend who does the thing you don't do, great. If you do it yourself, great, that's fine. You can make all your stuff yourself if you're proficient at whatever profession needed. But that's what you got to do. That or get it on the auction house or your other traditional ways. But we should see a regrowth, I think, of how important basic professions are in the game from this, or at least in theory. Most of the time, you're going to need enchanters as well. So don't forget about your enchanting friends. As for the Soul Ash component, you'll be able to obtain 100 quantity every week maximum, at least for now. That's by clearing the two available Torghast wings at the maximum layer of 8. So if you're going to go full min-max on this thing, you can get 100 quantity every week. And if you're successful at doing that, you can craft your first max level first max level item after 4 weeks. So that first legendary, you're 4 weeks in, you got it. It should be mentioned, if you want that item to be, if you don't care about it being max level and you're just looking for the effect, you can do it in week one. So again, if you're not trying to min-max, you'll be okay if you're just trying to do that. There's a really great guide on this whole thing over from our friends at Wowhead. So I would recommend giving that a look and digging into it a little bit deeper. But the more I hear about the legendary system coming up in this expansion, the more I like it. And in theory, some players are going to be every week hot new item level item level appropriate legendary all the way through this expansion, and maybe more down the road. Garrett, what do you think about that? How do you feel about your life of legendaries? No longer is it just hidden in a rock somewhere in freaking Legion and you got lucky. Now you're going to shit. Hey,
eventually we complained enough that we were able to grind and get a legendary.
That's true. I guess we could complain some more.
But yeah, it took a while for Legion to get there. Yeah, I'm with you. This is it's a little systems deep, but you know, when you kind of break it down to the four main bullet points of the shite you need to even start making this, it's pretty easy to follow along. Yeah. I share a lot of your thoughts. I think this is it's hard for me to look at this and see it in any light other than a major improvement over the kind of RNG fest that was Legion for the majority of its existence as far as getting legendaries was concerned.
Yeah.
And then we basically took BFA off. I mean, there were quote unquote legendary items, but not like in Legion.
That was a rebuilding couple of years, I think, for what legendaries would be. But what I like about this is it feels attainable by people if they're willing to do the work. It doesn't feel impossible is what I'm trying to get at.
It feels like I need a scribe and I need one now so I can make the dollar bills, y'all.
You're going to need that. But what I like about it is it's also very clear about what work you do have to do. And so the player's commitment is clear, right? If you want to do this and you want to do it at the pace to maximize, your chances of having the best gear in the legendary department, you know what you have to do. And is that work worth it for you? Great, do it. If it's not, then don't. But also know that if you just want the effect of the legendary weapon or want it to look cool or whatever, you can do that quicker. You don't have to go all nuts with it. I like that when the game does that. I like when the game is clear about its methods and doesn't... I mean, in a way, this looks like a bunch of currencies because you're talking about a whole bunch of crafting items and then, you know, potentially other people involved and all that. I mean, it seems like that could be complicated, but to me, it's not. I prefer this so much more than saying, to do this, you need to go out and grind 14,000 emblems of the dirty rat. And then bring those back and then turn those into what's his name. He'll give you a thing that they got to take to another guy and convert to a thing. Like, it's too obscure and just abstract when they do grindy currencies. This is like, get the parts. You know where to get them. You know how to do them and you know how to earn them. And even though it feels like it's a little bit of currency creep, it's like good for the world. It feels right for the world for me making a legendary thing in this world. Like, I'm down with this. I think it sounds great.
And I like that it's building upon. I like that it's building upon existing professions, so that like, yeah, I need to learn a little bit more. If I'm making my list of what my goals are and what I need to do to achieve those goals. In this case, getting my legendary. Yeah, it includes a lot of stuff, but it's built on top of systems that are pre-existing in some cases, like the profession stuff. So I kind of dig that. We've needed to go to other professions throughout all of WoW's history for certain things when we get to end game. So this to me just feels like an evolution of not being able to do everything yourself and needing to go to other players or your other alts, because you're a crazy person who has a ton of alts.
You're insane. Why not? That's a lot of people though. There are plenty of people who will be just doing this for themselves, I guess.
Oh yeah.
With their
crafting exactly all. But
Soulash, one would assume Soulash is 100% soulbound, so you're not gonna be able to buy this or borrow this or get it from your friends. This means there is one point of heavy expectation on Blizzard in this scenario, and that is that Torghast needs to remain great to play, because if it's not, and if that becomes grindy, earning that 100 quantity of Soulash every week is gonna freaking suck. And so they need to make that, you know, I'll give you an example. This expansion that we're still currently in, islands are boring after a while, pretty quickly, actually. And even worse are, what's the big war ones that's like the RTS? What's the mode? I can't think of the mode.
The war fronts?
War fronts. War fronts.
What's the war on the front?
What's that front where we have a war there? I hate those. I hate them. I find them to be the most tedious, yeah, boring, lame things the game's offered in a very long time. And anytime I needed to do it to get something else, I was angry at the game. I guess what I'm saying is, as long as Torghast never enters that territory and is always replayable and always fun, that's a big challenge, then I think this will be fine. And they can adjust as time goes on. And, oh, maybe you get more because you go in there. This week it's double and you get 200. Or, you know, there's things they can do.
This reeks of the type of system that will have catch-up mechanics down the road.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? A little bit.
Which is not a bad thing. That's just how that's WoW's development cycle. Like, catch-up mechanics will come.
Yeah. No, if not now, then when? If not who, then us.
Yeah, I don't look at them as necessarily a bad thing. So,
yeah. You're okay with a catch-up here and there. You're all right with it.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it as a condiment? How do you feel about ketchup on your fries and your burgers and hot dogs and things like that? How does that sound to you?
I hate ketchup. I absolutely hate it. It's the devil's condiment.
So ketchup mechanics in a restaurant setting, no good. Ketchup mechanics. Let's see how long I'm going to take this thing. Okay, you sounded like you were going to defend Warfronts for a second. I would love to hear
it. No, definitely not.
Okay.
No, all no, right. 100%. I was just going to say, like, you shouldn't have those concerns because this is in Torghast. And last I checked, you thought Torghast was fun.
Yeah, I did. And do. So
there you go.
But I am, but I won't, like, I'm not in there every
no
day.
There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way it's going to be as repetitive as Warfronts. It's just straight up impossible. Like, the Torghast, and when it hit the alpha, the very first day it was available, was more interesting and more replayable than Islands ever.
Yeah.
Or Warfronts, for that matter.
Yeah. So, the beta version of Torghast is better than any of that stuff combined.
Right.
So.
Right. Exactly. So I wouldn't be concerned that you're going to get burnout of getting your soul ash every week. If anything, my concern leans more towards, I'm not very good at making money in this game because playing the auction house isn't my favorite thing to do.
I hate it.
So I might just go broke, needing to buy stuff off of different professions to continue my legendaries. But it is what it is. I'm the type of player, I really like making lists. I like having like a very delineated goals that I'm going out and getting.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's why I look back on like things like expansions like Wrath of Lich King so fondly, because it was very straightforward as to how I geared my tunes. Mm-hmm. And this is certainly a little convoluted, but again, if you break these down into each individual section of each piece that you need to collect, this is something I can definitely break down into, here's my goals for the week, here's my goals for the month, here's my goals for my next piece.
And the UI stuff looks like it will help that along. It's not just simply keeping track of it in your bags and hoping for the best. They've, you know, there's some UI elements that are going to help as well that they published. I've not seen in game, but look like they'll work nicely. We got a note in the chat room from Zemo6 who says, sounds like making a crafting guild might be in order. That's interesting. I mean, we kind of have that now in AIE. Our mega guild on Earthen Ring has craft fairs and does just the whole runs the gamut of what do you do with crafting in this game. And so probably we're going to be all right and we'll have all sorts of resources for players from the get-go. But I wonder how a player who's just, you know, rolling in the game with a couple of friends aren't maybe active in a big guild or something, how they're going to fare, because you're going to pay a lot early on, my guess is, from anything that comes out of the auction house, because that's always how prices go when they first start to hit.
It's all relative.
Yeah,
none of this is new.
That's the thing, is that what I'm describing, this conundrum, just it applies to almost everything the game ever does, where you got to earn a thing or buy a thing.
Right. So it's just the natural economy of the game. Yeah. Like, it definitely, the price of items starts high always, and eventually slowly tapers off as items become more available.
Yep. Anyway, it's looking good. So read up more about it. It is, there's a whole bunch of stuff up on the official WoW site that broke it down, which is where what I was reading through today, and I really, really like the sound of it. I can't believe I care about a crafting aspect of the game all these years into it, because up till now, maybe even famously on the show, I hate professions. I hate them in the game, in particular. There's some kind of crafting mechanics I enjoy in other kinds of games. For some reason, I don't mind it in like Skyrim, even though you could argue it's more convoluted in some ways.
Especially, it's gotten so much more approachable in World of Warcraft.
It's a lot more than it used to be. A lot more. Worse. But I just hate standing there and wringing my character's just wringing his hands as if he's doing something. There's just something kind of weirdly fake about it, and it just never drove me.
You need something very expensive that you're dying for, Scott. Once there's finally something in the game, casting shade in 3, 2, 1, that someone doesn't randomly gift you and you actually want to save up for yourself. you're going to learn to love to craft.
No, that's a good point. That's a good point. Cause a lot of, we are spoiled in our guild. Anytime anybody needs anything, somebody just has it. So I'll get into the game and I'll go, I forgot to gem my whatever. Oh, hold on a second.
We're going to go to our graves without getting our long boys, okay?
Yeah.
But it, like, say whatever the next long boy is, and you're, like, dying for it.
Yeah.
I think that'll be the moment where it breaks through for you. Or, I don't know. Did you ever get obsessed with engineering? I can't remember.
For a hot minute, I liked it. And then I didn't like it. Okay,
because that's a gateway. That's a gateway drug for love and professions, because engineering is just super cool.
Well, it's because you can make cool shit and use it and have mounts.
You can make your own mounts, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I built my own helicopter in BC. At that point, I was like, oh, I finally get professions.
I don't think there's ever been a better profession in the game in terms of fun factor. The rest of them are just combine this to make this and level it up and make better ones of those. Like, it's
been slowly getting better over time. Like to me, I really get excited when I can build mounts. Like, I remember when tailoring got the magic carpet in Wrath of the Lich King, and it was like, oh, that's super cool. Yeah,
I forgot about that carpet. That's still, I can still do that, right? I assume.
I'm pretty damn sure. I mean, I have it.
Is it still the old ass polygon looking crappy texture thing from?
I mean, Wrath was the first expansion where we had a really big uptick in texture quality. So I feel like the rugs still look all right.
It's probably okay. Some of that vanilla stuff.
Oof. Yeah. Oof. You got a flying carpet, or as I like to call them, the gliding rug. That's my
the gliding rug.
That's my Costco brand flying carpet.
It's fancy. More on that later. Hey, you guys, let's talk about Raycon wireless earbuds real quick. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but like, really good noise isolating earbuds are kind of hard to find, especially if you're trying to save a little money. Well, I want to thank Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting the Instance and sending me this awesome pair of these things. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of other premium brands on the market, and we want you to get a good deal, 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/wow. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, trying to play a game of World of Warcraft and block the rest of the world out, whatever it is, whatever you're listening to, everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. Before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, though, check out these wireless earbuds from Raycon. They're amazing. Unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and discreet. No dangling wires or stems or any of that stuff to distract you during whatever you're doing, especially like video calls, conference calls, stuff like that, Zoom meetings. The company was co-founded by Ray J. Celebrities like Snoop Dogg love these things. Guess what? I also really like them. I have the Everyday E25 earbuds. They're the best yet. 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass and more compact design. Just gives you this really nice noise isolating fit. And again, like half the price of the premium brands out there. So get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/wow. That's W-O-W. That's buyraycon.com/wow for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/wow. Now this. Time for us to play a little rapid fire questions named after the stupid ability hunters have called rapid fire, which is getting tweaked a little bit. And I don't like the direction it's going. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about here. We're going to read each other a series of rapid fire questions. These questions came from you, the listeners. Neither of us have seen each other's questions. They're going to be about 6 each. And we have to answer them in the fastest way possible. We can't think too hard about them. We just have to answer. So,
send it.
Yeah, send it. In fact, you took a bunch of yours via Twitter today, just like Twitter replies.
Yes.
Feel free to send him You can send him his Twitter replies all month. Just whenever you're feeling the need to ask a dumb question, just send it to him. Okay?
Yeah.
Flood it. No, flood it. Make it so that your Twitter experience is so spammy.
So you can reply to it, and I have all of the replies under one area.
Just spam him until he can't stand Twitter anymore. Make it so bad that the usability of the experience has gone from average.
Scott, I don't think you understand what a cesspool Twitter is. If you're going to bury it with ridiculous questions to ask you, that's actually going to improve my Twitter experience because it's going to bury all the BS.
And don't forget, this is an important note. These questions should be, a little more on the silly side. We don't necessarily choose ones that say, what do you think about them adding an extra slot for characters in the next expansion? That's less what we're looking for. And we're more looking for how big do you think Thrall's left nipple is? That's more like our jam. All right. So
yeah. If you could do me a favor, folks, if you want to send in a question for Scott, please use the hashtag RapidFireScott. I will make a column for it in TweetDeck.
Oh, that would work.
And it'll make it really easy for me to collect questions.
That's great.
For future rapid fire.
I cheat and use an actual, I have a form for it. So if you want to send mine, you can just go to theinstance.net/questions.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks.
You betcha. I could set you one up. That'd be no big deal. That'd be
easy. For it.
Yeah, we could totally do that. All right. We'll let you guys know, but we're going to start with me this week and ask my questions of Garrett. This one comes from Korath of Dalaran. Favorite Star Trek captain?
Kirk is the only one I know the name of.
Incorrect. It's Picard. All right. Next question. Badger Lord on Kargath US says, what is your least favorite zone in the game and why is it Mechagon?
Because it is the worst generic dirt island since the Broken Shore.
It's you and this guy agree. Rusi from Earthen Ring says, what real life junk food item do you think would be your character's favorite? Whatever your main character is.
If I'm role playing my paladin, you'd be really into cinnamon buns.
Oh, wow. All right. That's an answer I did not expect. Next up, John from I Don't Play WoW says, oh, that's funny. He doesn't play WoW, I guess. Do you think there will be more Jedi out there if some of them didn't have their lightsabers go off by accident and kill themselves?
Sure.
I feel like it's asked and answered. Like if we were to assume a bunch of them went off by accident and killed themselves, well, yeah, there's less Jedi.
That's what you say when you're caught. I wasn't doing what you think I was doing. I was just cleaning it and it went off.
Now, here's a question we've all been wondering for a very long time. What is your favorite capital city in World of Warcraft? This is from, the name is Anamental on Terranus.
I don't think it holds up now, but I still have a really, 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 really soft spot for Shattrath circa Burning Crusade.
Oh, I do too, actually. A lot of wide berth kind of roads in there, but I have feelings for it as well.
It's unlike anything I experienced at the time.
Final question. Yorgi in Spain says, what smells worse, an orc's armpit or an undead's crotch?
It's got to be the undead crotch. There's a conversation here. It's a sliding scale. Like how long has the undead been an undead? Because it may have just rotted away entirely. It might be squeaky clean and just smell like bone.
Yeah.
So you know what? I'm going to go on an average day. Actually, I'm going to change my answer. It's the orc armpit.
Oh,
on
man.
It's an orc's armpit.
All right. I'm sorry. The correct answer was an abomination's butthole. Oh. Wasn't one of the options,
I was going to go with Stitch's nipple.
Oh, Stitch's nipple.
Yeah.
I played bass for them for years. All right, let's get to mine. Do you have a list for me now today?
I do. Badger Lord also asked you a question, Scott. What is your least favorite dungeon or raid boss?
Bone Storm. What's his name?
Marogar.
Yeah, I don't like him.
I love Marogar.
It's because I did him 1,000 times. I was so sick of him by the time we were done.
The first time you walk in, he's at the bottom of the spire. It looks amazing. You look up. There's great perspective. Troll Dan asks, what's your preferred fast food breakfast food?
I can't think right now. I really like the Chick-fil-A. They have these chicken breakfast burritos with egg and their grilled chicken. Those are very good. That's my favorite right now. I mean, you're talking crappy fast food, that's it.
I'm a Butts wants to know, because you are so bad at names, what is the orc starting zone called?
The orc starting zone is called... Wait, now I'm being nervous. Because I don't want to get this wrong. All right, so we're in the starting zone, like the zone.
The zone an orc starts. What about this? Do you not understand?
Yeah, but do they call that little camp something else? Is that what he's asking?
The little camp has a name, Scott.
Camp. Camp. Potato anus. I have no idea. I can't remember. It's named after. No, I know about the Thrall's dad thing. We're not talking about the whole zone. We're talking about that starting camp, right? Just the camp.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Yeah. Well, you were wrong, so you get a. It was a Valley of Trials.
Oh, shit.
And it is bonus points if you can tell me what the zone is called.
No, the zone is obvious. It's Durotan. Durotan's.
Duritar.
I mean, Duritar. Duritan's his dad. Duritar.
Yep. All the wrongs. Navir Gaming asks, if they finally allowed trucks in World of Warcraft, which faction would be Ford? Which faction would be Chevy?
Oh my gosh, dude.
Also some shade on Ram right now.
Yeah, this seems obvious to me. So doesn't mean per race. We're talking faction, the two factions, right?
Oh, Alliance and Horde. Which one's Ford? Which one's Chevy?
Okay, then I'd say Ford for Horde, not just because it rhymes, and Chevy for Alliance. I don't know why. That just seems right to me. And I have no basis for it other than it just sounds right. Don't know why. I just see an orc driving a Ford F-150 dually, and I can see the Alliance driving around in a Chevy truck, and they're both fine. They get the job done. They both tow the shit and do the thing. I don't know why. It's weird.
It works. Right. You would need a 350 to like fit a Torrent in it anyway, yeah. And I don't think Chevy makes a big enough truck.
That's a good point.
Lieutenant Codename asks, where in Azeroth would you like to be quarantined during COVID-19, and who would you prefer as your quarantine buddy?
Okay, pre-cataclysm Thousand Needles and quarantine buddy.
We all saw this coming.
Bane Bloodhoof. Yeah, he's a nice guy. I could hang out with him.
That's actually incorrect because Jaina could have conjured you food and water.
Damn it! I didn't think about that. Plus, she's a sexy lady. We might be able to have some relations, me and her. I don't know. I'm not saying I would. I'm just saying, you know, if we had to repopulate Azeroth with our seed, who better than me and Jaina Proudmoore?
Well, speaking of sexy, Keg Tapper wants to know, what male actor would you like to see in Alex Straz's clothes?
Oh my gosh, what male actor? Tom Hardy is the only correct answer.
Tom Hardy.
You can kind of see it, right? You can kind of picture it.
I can't. I get it. Definitely says way more about you than I think it does about me. There's a bonus question because I miscounted and I don't know who asked it. Does Dragonheart hold up?
Does Dragonheart the movie hold up? No. It's very bad. I saw this for Film Sack like 3-4 months ago, and it's a very bad film. So, no, Dragonheart does not hold up. It's a fun watch because it's goofy and stupid, but Dennis Quaid is ridiculous. Sean Connery's phoning it in. The CGI does not look good.
It is horrendous.
It's bad. Now, I've been told that there's like a fifth sequel or something that's on Netflix that was just recently made in like the last year or two. And I've been told that one's all right. Like, it's actually kind of okay. It looks okay. It's a return to some of the ideas of the first one.
You know, if you want to watch dragons and it to look good, just go watch Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire is awesome. I love Reign of Fire. My favorite.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, how did I do? Did I get? My score?
We weren't keeping score, but I'm going to give you a Ben Brode.
Everybody right. Done.
Excellent. All right. Perfectly well done. Nice job, everybody. Now, a quick email.
Mr. Johnson, I have two questions.
These emails come to us at theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. This comes from Lethys or Lethys. I don't know how he says. He's written it a bunch, and I never know how to say it. Lethys, whatever that is.
I'm going
to
go with Lethys.
Lethys? Okay. That's probably right. Now I feel dumb. Here we go. Hi, guys. Love the show. Keep up the good work. My question for you is this. I have on my account two level boosts, one for 120 and one for 110. Should I use those now before the level squish? I feel kind of forced that I have to use it in fear that I might lose the level boosts or that the equivalent boost might not, that I might receive may be inferior. Thanks so much, Lethys. Well, I don't know that Blizzard's ever addressed this directly, and maybe they have or haven't, but this is what my heart tells me. And always go with your heart. My heart tells me, and my gut tells me, that you'll be able to use them as you would normally for whatever levels they would have taken you to, but they'll be squished themselves. So in the 120 case, this will be a level or a boost to level 40. And the 110 will be a level boost to level 30.
120 should be to 50, because that's the...
Well, wait.
That's the conversion.
Is that the current one? Right, but in the new game with the new squish, the new boost will 50. So this one's not going to go... This one's not going to bump up. It's going to stay where it is, which means 10 levels back, right?
No, because 120 is to max now.
Oh, right.
If Lethys has a 120, it means they're sitting on the Shadowlands pre-purchase boost.
Wait, so he doesn't... Oh, I get it. Yeah, you're right. If he has a 120, then that's not even for the current game. Okay, yeah. I'm thinking of the 110, and if he had like a 100.
Yeah, the 110 is the one I'm not sure on, frankly. I haven't seen it addressed anywhere.
Well, I would assume just another... It's all going to scale by tens, I would think. Right? Maybe.
The 110 is where it gets weird, because right now you'd be 110, and I don't know what the conversion is when the squish happens, because that's not max level. That's at the beginning of BFA.
Yeah. Yeah, now I don't know. Now I have doubts about all of it. But
yeah, I mean, I would say just freaking use them. I would assume that they had thought ahead on this and would figure it out and do the math for you. But just,
well, there's also no value in hanging on to them. Just spend them. They're like, they don't get more value later on. They don't.
I mean, I can understand wanting to just like wait and see how classes play out in the new expansion over a longer term and see how you like it and see what you want to boost. But
well, he shouldn't worry about the 120 then, because that's a boost that will be there and ready for him to roll from whatever 10 levels, you know, from 50 to 60. That's just, we know that. They just aren't calling it a 50 to 60 on the box and on the pre-order material because it looks weird. Because the game is currently people getting to 120. And if you suddenly say, oh, well, look, it's a boost from, you know, to level 50, it's going to just confuse people. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. It's a weird marketing glitch in all of this. And so that 120 is going to be a 50. You can count on that. And you should save that during the expansion, maybe a little bit in the beginning, decide what you want to do, assuming you have some other current level 120s that will then be 50s also. Like, play the classes you already have there. And then if you're like, I really want to play a monk and I never have, well, then boost a monk or whatever. The 110, I think I'm with Garrett. I don't know what they were doing with the old ones. They're not, I can tell you this, they're definitely not bumping that to current. They're not going to make that a level 50 to 60. There's no way.
So chat room has, I haven't seen this, linked to a handy chart on WoWhead of the current level and what it will be after the squish. So the 110 will be level 45.
Oh, it's more
granular. I mean, that doesn't confirm that that's what the boost will do, but...
Interesting. Okay, so there's no confirmation, but by their math, it's a more incremental, granular drop or boost rather. It's not straight tens. It could be in the middle somewhere, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I tried poking around trying to find a blue reply to this exact concern, and I couldn't find anything official.
Because currently, levels 5 through 7 will be level 3. According to this chart, 18 through 19 will be level 9. Currently, 29-31 will be 13, and it goes up from there.
Yeah, so on and so forth.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, so. All right. Well, it looks like I think WoWhead did the right math. Whether or not Blizzard does anything special with those boosts, who knows? If they round it up, you know, or down, or whatever.
Yeah, I would not be. I'm not concerned about the current boost to 120 because they would want those to still be around so you can get started at Shadowlands post launch. I wouldn't.
Well, plus I wouldn't. Isn't that the only time you can buy that thing? If he has a 120, he's bought the expansion's boost. So
right. But then they'll make them available for purchase after Shadowlands launches, like they always do. I'm sure.
Yeah. You can do. Boost. They want that extra $60 or whatever as I paid that one time for that. Mage I never took all the way through. Gosh dang it, dude. Oh, the memories. That effing mage. He's sitting right there on the dock talking to a bunch of trolls about all the stuff as if it hasn't happened already. What a waste of $60.
Asking Kalanji why her dress looks so much like Zelda.
Oh, why did I waste so much money? All right. I'll never do that again. That's it for your emails. Thank you for that. Theinstance@gmail.com is where you can send an email just like Lethis did, and we'd love to read it on the show. It's going to do it for us. However, before we go, a reminder that this show is supported by you and your help over at theinstance.net. We have an Instance Plus membership that we built ourselves, and it's super easy to become a member of. You get cool monthly rewards, including artwork. I just put up a panda. Let me see if I can show people this real quick. If I can find it. Here we go. I meant to have this handy. So I drew a panda for this month's art, and it comes on a handy dandy collectible card, and it's got card art on the back, kind of Hearthstone style from Garrett. On the front, you've got this new drawing of a Pandaren from me. Whoops. Then over here, there you go, so you can get it and look at them. Just a big ink and grayscale sketch that I did of a panda, a Pandaren. Anyway, you get that, you get the month, you get the date, you get a signature, and you get the art, and you don't get it any other way unless you support us on our Instance Plus membership. Again, that's theinstance.net. Check it out. All right. I think that's it. Garrett, we should probably tell folks what's going on in your world during the rest of the week. What's going on amove.tv?
Oh, yeah, man. Well, there's going to be a big patch in Hearthstone either today or tomorrow. They couldn't confirm which day it was coming, but we already know what's happening. It's a big update for Battlegrounds. Murlocs are finally getting nerfed. We're also getting a couple changes to some of the more annoying cards in the new expansion. And so we're going to talk all about that on the Angry Chicken. We're also going to talk all about the pre-patch on WoW Killer this week, and Into the Nexus will be coming Thursday because we're supposed to get a balance patch this week. So expect us to break that down as well.
Nice.
All of that over at amove.tv.
Nice. Go check it out. If you're looking for more cool stuff like this, you can find it at frogpants.com. Oh, gosh. What else do I have to say? That's it. We'll be back next week with more. Oh, yeah. What are you going to say?
Support the show and go hear Scott and I ramble about Halo for like an hour.
That's going up today for all you late people. All the early birds already got it. So if you want early bonus content, that's how you get it. You support us as an Instance Plus member. So head on over there and check it out. Thank you, everybody who is already doing that for us. We really appreciate it. It's going to do it for us. Theinstance.net is our website. You can go find us on Twitter, at Instance Show, Garrett Art, Scott Johnson, not Patrick. I think Patrick is back next week. We'll be welcoming him back to the fray after a very busy trip he's been having. And again, you can get more great content at frogpants.com, both live and to your hard drive. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Garrett, and for the still vacationing Patrick. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes, get more at frogpants.com.